one of the best things I can think of is to talk about Christmas. Yep. So I'm going to read a text for you and see if this doesn't sound a bit like Christmas to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, just getting you prepared a little bit ahead of time. I'm not going to start a Christmas series yet. In fact, as we're in a little series right now about God and as our refuge and as our guide, today's going to be talking about God as our God. And then next week, God is our giver. Then we do the Lord's Supper. We're going to start a little series on lessons from Luke. From the Gospel of Luke. And I'm just going to kind of start later on. I'm not going to start at the beginning and go through the whole book, but we're going to start in there and kind of look at lessons from Luke. So that's kind of where we're headed. But today, we're going back to Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you speak truth into our lives. And God, we're not going to let Satan hinder us. We're not going to let him distract us and bring insinuations and things into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. God, we're here. We are your people, called by your name. And we've come to worship you and to tell you, Lord, that we love you, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, I just pray that you're going to teach us again from your word today as we rejoice in knowing that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that we're going to be with you for eternity. But until then, God, help us to follow you more closely, to learn and to be obedient and look for the ways that you guide and lead us. And we'll be quick followers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in some of the texts, when you read about that story, it talks about, you know, they saw the star in the east and they followed it. Well, the problem with that translation is these guys are from the east, and if they saw the star in the east, they would end up in India. So it's a little bit of a problem, except when you look at the Greek. And I'm not a Greek scholar, you guys know that, but I can use some tools and Greek languages and tools, and I've got some friends I can call if I need really to know. But the Greek word there also means the rising. So it doesn't necessarily mean east, the rising. So if you look at in Matthew 2:2 in the New Revised Standard Version, it says, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." The NIV that I read for you just a few moments ago says, "We saw his star when it rose." So that's really a more accurate translation of that particular Greek word that's used there. These Gentiles are from Arabia, they're from Persia, and so they're guided by a star. Now, isn't that wild? That's the important thing here, folks. They are guided by this star, and they follow this star until it goes exactly, points them to the home where Messiah is. I mean, pinpoints it, and they bring their gifts, and they fall down, and they worship it. Do you ever wish that God would put a little star in your life and guide you that way?
Yeah.
You know, so you move only when that star moves and you go right to where it points, and then you know, that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? You know, it'd make it a lot easier, I think, at times. I don't know if any of you had these or not when you were younger as a kid, a magic eight ball. Anybody ever heard of a magic eight ball? Some of you did. Yeah, you take it, you'd ask it a question, you'd shake it, you'd turn it over, and it'd give you an answer, float up. And if you didn't like it, you'd shake it again and look. So you got the answer you really wanted. Oh, yeah, well, I knew that's what it meant. To get our guidance. Interesting verse out of Ezekiel 21:21. I'll read it and then give you a little bit of context. For the king of Babylon will stop at the fork in the road, at the junction of the two roads, to seek an omen. He will cast lots with arrows. He will consult his idols. He will examine the liver. And what it's just saying is this is how they were trying to find guidance. So these pagan kings would often come, and arrows, they would have certain arrows, they would shake them, or they would shoot them, they'd try to read that. They would cut up an animal, they would read the liver. You know, if the liver quiver, or how that works, and it would be indication that they could do this or shouldn't do that. So they did all these weird things to try to get guidance. Now, how strange is that? Until I drove by and I looked at a big sign that said palm reader. Or how many people turn to their horoscope for guidance today. Isn't that strange? People want guidance. And they're turned to all kinds of things to try to get it. Our world is kind of strange going on right now, but it's no more confusing than it's probably always been. I mean, nothing really new under the sun. But we really need guidance, don't we? We really need that in our lives. And your guidance can't just be based on social media. All right? That's you don't want to do that. But it can't be based on emotions either, or feelings, because those are unreliable. You know, I so many people tell me, yeah, but I just have a gut feeling about this. Or this is the other one. I just know in my heart that I should do this. Except Jeremiah 17, the word of God says, verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? So let me tell you what, just because your heart says you should do it doesn't mean you should do it. Just because you have a gut feeling, that doesn't mean you should do it. So what do we need? We need God's guidance. That's what we need. We don't need anything else that's out there going through the palm readers and the seances and all the weird stuff, or just having a feeling that we should do it. We need what God says. Because the decisions that you make and I make influence our life, doesn't it? Don't they? They shape it. And not only our lives, but it affects people around us as well. So we really need to know the direction that God would have us. But the question is, but does God still guide us today? I mean, he did those guys. But does he? And I think the answer would come back resounding, yes, of course he does. He wants to guide us. He wants you to know his will for your life. I'm convinced of that. God wants you to know his will. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but, what's it say there? Understand what the Lord's will is. He said, I want to share. Don't be foolish, but understand God's will, his direction, not all the other stuff. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you how often?
Always.
Always. Always. Psalm 25:12. Where are the ones who honor the Lord? God will teach them which path to take. Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. I will advise you as my eyes watch over you. So God said, I'll do this. I'll guide you. I'll show you the way. But how does he do it? Does he do it through a star? Does he do it through a magic eight ball? You know, how does God do it? Well, before I'm going to show you some ways he does that, I think you've got to first come to terms with how are you getting your guidance today? How do you do it today? And, you know, when you fly, before takeoff, they should say, okay, at this time, you know, put your laptops away, turn off your cell phones and yada, 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 turn those things off. Because they don't want anything that might interfere with the plane's guidance system. Now, that bothered me when I heard that. I'm thinking, my cell phone can bring this plane down? You don't turn it off? I mean, that just seemed weird to me. But I turn it off, you know, I do what they ask me to do. Because I don't want to interfere with any kind of guidance systems that, you know, they might have. So what is it in the way that you make decisions today, in your philosophy of decision-making, or just the way that you do it, that might interfere with God's guidance system in your life? What is it that might interfere in His direction? Well, I just figure out the way I do it is I just kind of take the easiest way, and the way that's going to give me the least amount of pain, that's my decision. Where you're at. Or, you know, I never know, so I just let others choose. I just do what they tell me to do. You see, we all choose some way. When you come to decisions, you got to make a decision one way or the other, or not making a decision is making a decision, so you're going to make a decision, okay? So, what determines the way that you make those decisions? Little ones and big ones. Proverbs chapter 3, verses that most of you love and know, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So God's going to show you His will. He's going to lead you the right path. He's going to direct your life if you allow Him. And the way to do that, I think the importance of God's guidance is to develop wisdom. I think that's how God really wants to guide us in our lives. It wasn't but a few weeks ago, we were spending time in Proverbs in Sunday school, and we were Zooming, right, on those of you who are able to connect with us, and we were going through Proverbs. Now, starting 2 weeks, not next week, the following week, October the 4th, we're going to have classes here, 9:15. We will also be Zooming Marcia's and Lisa's class. So if you still don't want to come, that's fine, and you want to connect by Zoom, that's great too. Just get with us, we'll make sure that gets hooked up. But we'll have those classes that we'll be meeting here. But Proverbs was really important. It's kind of a fun thing to go through. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, the wise hear them and grow in wisdom. Those with understanding gain guidance, direction. God wants to guide you and me so that we make so that we will grow, that we will be mature, that we will make wise decisions. And see, what happens is somebody will say, oh God, just give me a vision. Give me a vision and I'll know what I should do. And we wait and no vision comes. But see, God just doesn't want to guide me. Or we do kind of the old lucky dip method, you know, you open your Bible, flop it open, and close your eyes and point to a verse, and God, this will be the direction you want to give me. You know, and you point to the verse and it says, how many cubits are in a courtyard? What? You know, you're just kind of out there on that. God, when I go to sleep tonight, God, I desperately need a dream. And when you give me this dream in the morning, I'll know what to do. And you wake up in the morning and you still haven't had a dream. Or just reach into your pocket and you pull out a quarter and you say, I'm just going to say, heads I do this, tails I do that. That is not how God wants you to live. Okay? He does not want that. If He guides that way, if He always did that, we would just be very immature, very weak, and we would stay as small children. That's how it would be. But God's plan for guidance in your life is that you will grow and mature, and it'll take a process becoming more in wisdom. And so before you get to those decisions, God has already built into you part of His guidance system. So you'll know the direction to go because of the wisdom that God has given to you. Now, there are certain signposts along the way that help us get to that place of wisdom to make those godly decisions, to get direction in our life to follow His will. Last week, we talked about God is our refuge. And I talked about the six refuge cities that were established, that God established. First start off three of them, added three more. And they're always within about a half day's journey. But the roads going to those refuge cities were always well kept. And there were signs along the way. This way to the refuge city. you know, so you could get there before the blood avenger got you. So it always pointed, and isn't it great that God says right now, I'm your refuge? You know, we don't have to run down to the corner or someplace to get to a refuge city. We just went to the Holy Father. He's our refuge. Well, they had those signs. Now, this week I want to talk to you about some signposts that show us how to get guidance, how to get God's wisdom and direction in our life. Okay? So, signpost number one would be the Bible. Okay? If you have your little fill-ins there, you might want to fill that one in. The Word of God, that's what we were singing. Thy Word is the lamp to put my, you know, light into my path. The Word of God. It is the surest, most productive, most efficient way that you'll receive God's guidance is in His Word. Number one, that's the place, God's Word. Now, to get that, you have to be teachable. See, you have to be receptive to what the Word says. You're not going to get it just by sticking it under your pillow and sleeping at night. You're not going to get it just by looking for something that you want to affirm your own opinion, you know, and so you just keep looking at it. No. It comes from being receptive. And here's the other part of that. The flip side is don't become defensive. You know? Well, I don't like what the Bible says there. I don't like that. I'll tear that page out, you know. Well, you wouldn't literally, but you do mentally. So be teachable, not defensive. Wow, we're so quick to become defensive. You know, somebody says one thing and we go, rah, rah, rah. I didn't mean anything by it. Don't become defensive. Here's the other part of if we're going to allow the Word of God to guide us and direct us, we've got to be quiet and listen. Now, to be quiet and listen takes some time. And sometimes it's hard to find a place where it's quiet and you can listen. But it takes that. You know, the Word of God tells us how to live, how to love, how to talk with one another, how to handle our money, how to function as a family member, how to deal with other believers, you know, on and on and on and on and on, the list goes. And so many decisions are really pretty simple if you just let the Word of God speak to us. You know, and sometimes we act like it's a really big decision. It's not. It's pretty simple if you just follow what God says. So here's the deal. Should I lie or should I tell the truth? Just read a little article by Max Lucado back on the 15th of this month. Let me just read it for you. It's just a short article. Are you in a dilemma wondering if you should tell the truth or not? The question to ask in such moments is, will God bless my deceit? Will he who hates lies bless a strategy built on lies? Will the Lord who loves the truth bless the business of falsehoods? Will God honor the career of a manipulator? I don't think so either. Examine your heart and ask yourself some tough questions. Am I being completely honest with my spouse and children? Are my relationships marked by candor? What about my work or school environment? Am I honest in my dealings? Am I a trustworthy student, an honest taxpayer? Do you tell the truth always? If not, start today. Don't wait until tomorrow. The ripple of today's lie. Listen to this line. This is a great last line. The ripple of today's lie is tomorrow's wave and next year's flood. Isn't that good? I wish I'd have said it. The ripple of today's lie is tomorrow's wave and next year's flood. Right? It's a no-brainer. You know that you don't. If you're a Christian follower, should you marry someone who is a non-believer? Well, the answer is no. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership of righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? So the answer is no. See, so the Word of God is very specific in a lot of areas. You know, man, tell the truth always. You know, don't do this, do that. You know, it's really pretty basic. But sometimes we need some more specific guidance on how to apply the Scripture into our given situation. And God gives us the Holy Spirit who indwells us to teach us that, doesn't he? So the second signpost is prayer and the witness of the Holy Spirit. You fill in it out, put those two down. Prayer and the witness of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Now, when we talk about the Scriptures, the Word of God, The main word that comes out of that is obedience. God says it, we're following it. You know, we are to be obedient to his word. That's important. That's kind of the word we hang with scripture, is obedience. Let me read this little quote, or little story here. It's Mark Twain, okay? Mark Twain encountered a ruthless businessman from Boston during his travels who boasted that nobody ever got in his way once he determined to do something. He said, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I'm going to climb Mount Sinai, and when I'm up there, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of my voice." Unimpressed, Twain responded, "I got a better idea. Stay in Boston and keep them." You know, we're pretty good about, "Oh, I'm going to do this, and oh, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to..." Why don't we just do it? Be obedient. And I thought that was a pretty good one. It's not about the show and the flash, it's just about being obedient. So that's how we lock that one with the scripture. But faith is the word we use with the Holy Spirit. Scripture, obedience, faith, the Holy Spirit. And it seems a little bit more mystical, and in a sense it is, but God tends to lead us at times through those gentle spiritual promptings or urgings. Coming here 29 years ago, Marcia can testify to this, that when we were at Plymouth, I'd have different pulpit committees come through. And they'd say, "Hey, you know, can we talk to you?" And I'd say, "No, not really. I, you know, appreciate y'all coming and blah, 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 but I wouldn't meet with them." I just said, "No." And one day, just out of the blue, I'm there, and Charles Tankersley, and I forget who, well, I could probably name him if I thought long enough. We're sitting out there, and afterwards they said something about, "Can we talk to you?" And I told Marcia, "I'm going to talk to these folks." And she couldn't believe it. She said, "What?" You know, she looked at the group and said, "What?" No, she didn't do that. But she just said, you know, I mean, where we're at, we're really doing some really good things, and some things have just really taken off for us there, so young folks and some additions and things. But it was one of those kind of things I just felt kind of a prompting and an urging. And it wasn't life shaking and, "Oh, I got to," just, "No, I think I need to talk to these people." But be real careful on this signpost. Make sure it always lines up with the scripture. You know, remember we talked about gut feelings and in my heart? Don't buy into that if it doesn't line up exactly with scripture. Okay? So that's an important one, not as important as number one. Okay, number three, third signpost. It's the advice of wise people. Now, those words are all important on that. That's not just random thrown up there. Advice of wise people, okay? Not just people. It makes a difference. Let me read some verses for you. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 12:15. Fools see their own ways right, but the wise listen to advice. That's a good one, isn't it? Because we all seem to think our ways right, else we wouldn't do it. Sometimes we need to listen to others that might show us a little bit differently. Proverbs 24:6. You should make war with guidance. Victory comes with many counselors. We all have blind spots. And these blind spots slow down our progress in becoming wise. And if we're not careful, we don't care. We just keep them blind. I don't want anybody to tell me that something's different, or I need to think of it in a different way, or have a different approach. I just said, well, keep it blind spot. But it slows us down. And so God often keeps us on the path and guiding us through the counsel of friends and of godly people. But be careful again. You could get wacko people like Jim Jones. You remember some of those guys, you know, drink the Kool-Aid. You know, I know, I'm the godly man, I'm the counselor. Do this, you know. Some self-proclaimed counselors love to inflict their opinion on you. You know? So be careful on this one. Get godly advice, but the decision remains with you. Okay? So, talked to the pulpit committee from Parkland. We talked a couple times, and so I thought I'd better get some advice on this one. And I went to the director of missions. His name was James Fortin, Dr. James Fortenberry in Orlando, Greater Orlando Baptist Association. He was the go-to guy. So I went to him, and I told him the whole story of what was going on here, what I knew. And he said, no, don't go. Don't go. Sometimes we should listen to advice, you know, and sometimes we shouldn't, but he said, no, don't go, and he listed out about some reasons why not to go. So you hear counsel, you consider it carefully, you decide how much weight to give to that counsel, and did you notice it says that was wisdom in the counsel of one?
No,
many. Check it out with several people. You know, some people can give you really good counsel in theology, and some others can give you really good counsel in finances, you know, how to handle that. Some can give you good counsel in relationships. So you get that. You get all the good advice you can, but you remember that this good advice I'm getting is just one of the signposts. It's just one of them. And so when he told me, don't come, I weighed that up. But it was my decision. Best decision I've made in 29 years. Well, that's true for me. It is. 45 years ago, better decision when I married Marcia. About 52 years ago, even a better decision when I received Jesus as my Savior. A couple other big decisions when we adopted Lisa and Blake. Those are my biggies. Get godly counsel, but you make the choice. Understand it. The fourth signpost that will help you is how God has designed you, our unique design. You know, the Bible says that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that neat? You know what? God doesn't make any junk. He doesn't. You are not junk. You are precious to God. More than you realize. You are made in His image and in His likeness. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we're not all made alike. We're made in His image, but we're not all made alike. And so you need to ask God something like this when you're in this process of decision making. God, how does the way that you made me fit into this decision I'm facing? How does it fit in my giftedness and the way you wired me and my temperament and all that? God, how does that fit into the decision that I'm making? So after prayer and studying the scriptures and listening to the Holy Spirit being quiet before God, getting advice from good, godly, wise folks, seeing how you're wired, how God has designed you and has made you, then make a decision. And here, don't hyper-spiritualize it. You know, make the decision and do what seems best. You've gone through the process, then make that choice. And remember this, though. God doesn't promise that when you're obedient to Him, that immediately it's going to lead to a life of happiness and success and bliss. Because when Jesus followed the exact will of His Heavenly Father, it led to the cross. When Paul did exactly what God wanted to, he ends up in Jerusalem in a big trouble. And he knew it was coming, but he followed what God wanted. Throw something else at you just for a moment. Enjoy the search. Enjoy the journey, because sometimes the journey is a lot more fun and exciting than when you get at the destination. You know? Enjoy the journey that God puts you on. So how do we do this? Wrap it up here. Find out the parameters in God's Word. What are the parameters? God lays them out, folks. Find the parameters. Now, within those parameters, what is the best way to honor God within my life? This is the parameters. Where in this is the best way for me, the way I'm marked, to honor God and then make a decision and have confidence it's acceptable to God because it is. So if I'm going to buy a car, praying to God about this car. The parameters are, this is how far you took. Don't go in debt to this situation here where it straps you on this. This is the parameters. Now, if you want a red one, get a red one. If you want a yellow one, get a yellow one. You want a blue one, get a blue one. It doesn't matter. Be in those parameters. See, it's a circle here that God's given. It's not a dot necessarily, but within the parameters of God's word, movement of the Holy Spirit in your life, the way that you're wired up, all of these things, then make a decision. And then also remember this, that God's a good fixer as well as a good guide. Okay? So sometimes, understand that. We run to Romans 8:28, don't we? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Thank you, God. Now, God doesn't hide his guidance. He doesn't hide him in the stars or in a crystal ball or in a magic eight ball. God doesn't do that. He guides us in such a way that it makes us to grow and to become mature and to become wise and to help us in this process. And it becomes a way of life. His wisdom becomes a way of life as I put this into play. Now, the question that God cares most about in your life is not, where shall I live? What should I do next? The number one question that God wants to know of your life and my life is, do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, strength? Do you love him? Do you love him? Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what he wants to know. That's number one. Do you love him? Then we go back to what I read earlier, Jeremiah 29, just verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's God's plan for your life today. Isn't that neat? Isn't it great that God wants to guide us and direct us every step of the way? So, are you willing this morning to seek the Lord and to follow his path? Are you willing to keep your eyes on him, the mountaintop? Follow him as he guides you. Remember, always along his word. But then understand how he uses other things to help us as we follow. Number one, do you know him? Do you love him with all your heart? And if you don't, and you say, yeah, I did, but I'm kind of getting cold. I've kind of drifted on that. And today's a great day to renew that commitment. Say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. Today, right now. And there'll be rejoicing in him. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And I know it's a pretty simple message, but one that I think we need to hear again and again about how much you love us and how you designed us and created us and how you are not just put us on this spinning blue marble and say, okay, just have at it. God, you want to guide us and direct us in our lives. Lord, I thank you for those promises you give to us, that you won't leave us or forsake us, that you haven't left us, that you do guide us, that you've given us your word, the very inerrant, infallible word of God. And Lord, I thank you for godly friends and wisdom. And Lord, just the way that you guide and lead us. Oh Lord, may we seek to follow you, to be people of wisdom. So when we come to those crossroads and those big decisions, that God, it's already built into it, the GPS there of following you. So I pray today, each of us will examine our hearts and see how willing we are to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.